Ernest Hemingway said, "It is good to have an end to journey toward. But it is the journey that matters in the end." We love a good journey. A journey on the road to your family's annual vacation spot. The journey that began when you felt that first kick in your tummy. And then, man, as you took your hand and you placed it on the stomach and you felt that kick. And that one day that those little legs would be on the ground and those chubby little hands would be pushing up off of the ground and those legs would wobble. And then that first step was taken on that little child's journey. The journey that began with that first date. The first time that you touched her hand. The first time that you kissed his cheek. That time that you held hands together and took vows and said, for better or for worse. The journey of friendship. Going through the good times and the hard times with those kindred spirits in life that just get you. That you can always count on. The journey of life with all of its highs and some of its lows. But with the hope of heaven and one standing at the gate that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." We are people that are made to journey. When Catalina and I were married just a couple of years, we experienced what most of us experience when we first get married, that our single friends no longer really like to hang out with us as much as they used to. And so you become the old married couple that has to find ways to do things together without your friends. And Catalina and I were very much in that boat. Well, one day, after a couple of years of being married, we decided that we were going to go for a drive around Lake Tahoe. So, we got into our black Nissan pickup truck, got in the truck, and we drove off up Highway 50 and started out around Lake Tahoe. Well, as we continued on this journey and we experienced life together, conversation together, we end up on Upper Truckee Road. And the road is going like this, but the lake is going like this. And finally, I realize I am hearing those two words in my mind that you never want to hear on a journey. Wrong turn. We had taken the wrong road in order to get around Lake Tahoe. But something happened as we ended up in Placerville. We ended up finding a place that would be a regular part of our family rhythm throughout the years, for the past 17 years, as we take our family every year up to Apple Hill. And we get our cider drink, and we get our apple pie that is ridiculously filled with apples over and above the tin. It was a journey that we didn't expect. And even in the midst of a wrong turn, at least what we thought was a wrong turn, it ended up being one of the most special parts of our lives as a family together. And it all happened in the journey. A man named Paul knew a lot about journeys. He lived about 2,000 years ago and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that you have in your Bibles. It was Paul's spiritual journey that led him to gallivant across parts of what we now know as Asia and Europe. Journeys back then were tough. In a time when we can catch a flight from Reno to LA that takes about as long as it takes to watch your favorite TV show, we really don't understand how difficult travel actually was. It's estimated that Paul walked somewhere between 4,500 and 5,000 miles over the course of his ministry. To give you a sense of what that's like, imagine walking from Las Vegas to New York City and back again. That's how much Paul walked over the course of his ministry. Paul's journeys were hard, but they were necessary. Your journey is hard, but it's necessary. Paul saw the importance of his journeys because he was deeply intimate with God. God had transformed his life, and he saw the necessity of his travel all across Asia and Europe because he knew that in his spiritual transformation, others needed to join him on his journey. It was a journey of spiritual formation. Over the course of the summer, you're going to hear me use that phrase a lot. Spiritual formation. What is God doing in you to transform you? To take what you know in your head about God, connect it with your heart, and truly know that you can sing the words of that song that Ricky just led us in and truly mean it. I will never be the same as I have encountered the living God. That was Paul's journey. Today we are going to start a journey, and I'm going to ask you to join me. It's going to be a journey through Scripture, but it's also going to be a journey inside of ourselves. A journey of spiritual formation. In this journey, Scripture is going to be the map, but we are going to be the terrain. The Bible is going to guide us on the road of self. We're going to use the Bible to navigate the landscape of our own souls. And this summer, we are going to take the journey together. Through Paul's journey with the Philippians, we will arrive at three destinations. An upward destination towards God and deeper intimacy with Him. This deeper intimacy will lead us to an inward destination of spiritual formation. And in this upward call, in this inward transformation, we will arrive at our outward destination toward community. For the community that is not just in here, but the community that is out there. This is the journey, and I'm asking you to join me. So, Father, as we begin on this journey, Lord, we ask that you would guide us and direct our steps. That you would move within us to seek deeper intimacy with you. That we would seek to not be the same. That we would be spiritually transformed. And that as we study your word today, Lord, that you would guide us now and throughout this summer to take the journey together as a church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's second missionary journey is going to bring him to Philippi. Paul and his partner Silas start on this journey to go out and strengthen the churches after a decision that has been made by the Jerusalem Council. But also, along with strengthening the churches, their desire is to go out and continue the ministry of preaching the gospel. Along the journey, after picking up a new disciple, Timothy, something happens that is difficult to understand. We find it in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there for several days. A pithy saying goes, "If God closes a door, he opens a window." After looking at this passage, I wonder how many of us, in applying that saying to our lives, might be guilty of spiritual breaking and entering. If, in fact, the Holy Ghost has clearly said to us, "Do not enter. Wrong way." This is hard to understand. Paul wants to tell people about Jesus, and God is saying no? Between his travels from Phrygia to Galatia, on to Mysia, and finally landing in Troas, he walked with Silas and Timothy about 700 miles. 700 miles. It's hard for me to get anybody to walk 7 miles with me. 700 miles, and yet the Holy Spirit is saying, "Do not enter." Not only does he say, "Do not enter," along this road, we don't have any indication that he was told, Paul was told exactly where to go. But Paul keeps going. He doesn't quit. Let me pause here for a moment and ask you, how do you respond when God says no? Do you throw up your hands? "God, I quit. I've had enough of this person. I've had enough of this church. I've had enough of my job. I quit." Do you push harder to get your own way when God says no? Do you fall back into destructive habits? Are you doing that right now? What do you do when God says no? Stay with me, because Paul is going to teach us something. Paul has to do something on this journey that we like to say that we do, but when the rubber meets the road, it is much more difficult for us to practice. Trusting God. Paul knew that God could be trusted, and what we see here is a universal truth for Paul and for us, that the Holy Spirit dictates our Christian journey. The Holy Ghost directs all of our spiritual expeditions. This is what set the tone for Paul's journey. He trusts God. Paul knew that God was in control, and because God was in control, he could trust God on the journey. He had been to the upward destination of intimacy with God. Paul was so in tune with what God was doing that when the Holy Spirit said, "You are forbidden to come here," Paul kept going. He didn't know where he was supposed to go next, but he knew that he was going to move on and seek to proclaim the gospel elsewhere, because that's all he could do in this spiritual intimacy he had encountered with God. And as he goes on, once again, the Holy Spirit says, "Nope, not here." It would have been easy for Paul to say, "Why not, God? I've worked so hard. It shouldn't be this difficult. I planned the trip. I'm out here walking for 700 miles. It's not fair, God." You uttered those words before. I know you have. Because I uttered those words before. Paul trusted that the Holy Spirit could direct his ministry efforts far better than he could direct his own efforts. And what the Holy Spirit wanted was greater than what Paul had in mind. The ultimate goal of Paul was to preach to individual cities along the way, but God's ultimate goal was to take Paul into Europe, beginning with Macedonia. God would eventually reach Asia, which is a reference to Ephesus, and he would reach Bithynia. Those places in which the Holy Spirit forbid Paul from entering, God would reach those people with the gospel. But look at what happens when Paul trusts the Holy Spirit with his ministry efforts. Paul wanted cities. God wanted to give Paul a continent. It is the Holy Spirit that directs our journey. There are times when God tells us no. And it is in those times when he is calling us to an upward destination, to deeper intimacy with him. Do you know me? Not, do you know me? Anybody can know God here. But he is saying, do you know me here and here? Do you know me in the deepest core of who you are? Do you trust me? Are you going to pursue me and my greatest good for you? Or are you going to settle for what you want? I can all but guarantee you that if God gave us, each one of us, everything that we wanted, we would be dead by now. God is saying, if you are intimate with me, you will know that you can trust me, and I will not fail you. Understanding that the Holy Spirit directs our journey, how do we know where the Holy Spirit is directing us? We know where the Holy Spirit is guiding us when we are in constant communication with him. We affirm that the revealer of truth is leading us by engaging him in continuous dialogue. There's an important shift in pronouns that happens late in this passage. I'm going to ask Julie if she would put that passage back up on the screen for us, because I want you to see it. Throughout this passage, in verses 7 and 8, we see the pronouns they. This is referring to Paul and his companions as they enter, as they attempt to enter Asia and Bithynia. But let's move the slide up to where we can see verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It shifts from they to we. The author, Luke, joins Paul at this point in the journey. How did Luke know what to write about the Holy Spirit forbidding Paul from entering into Asia and Bithynia? Paul told him. Paul was able to tell him what the Holy Spirit had done, and that he knew that the Holy Spirit had forbidden them because Paul had been listening to the Holy Spirit and was able to articulate it to Luke. Paul had a life of upward movement toward God and was being spiritually transformed. And through his encounters with God, he was in constant communication with the Holy Spirit. If we were able to be there with Paul, the conversation might have sounded something like this: God, what do you want to do today? I know what I want to do. I want to go out and preach the gospel in Asia. No? Okay, God, I'm going to keep going, and I am going to go to Bithynia because I want to preach the gospel there. How about Bithynia, God? No? Okay, I'm going to keep going. God, you have said no to Asia and you've said no to Bithynia. How about I stop in Troas and I'll wait for you to tell me? Go and help the Macedonians? Okay, God, I'm on it. Let's get on a boat and go to Macedonia. Because of his upward movement toward God, he could hear clearly what the Holy Spirit was communicating to him. This is the essence of what we see in other texts, such as Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. It's not that when you ask, you'll get whatever you want. It's that when you ask, God will give to you what He has for you. When you seek, you will find, but you're going to find what He has prepared for you. When you knock, the door that He has prepared is going to be open to you. The more we encounter God, the more we understand His voice as He responds to us. Knowing that we must be in constant communication with the Holy Spirit, in what attitude should we approach our journey? We should approach our journey with confidence and encouragement, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in control. We can advance in our crossing with assurance and inspiration, realizing that it is the Holy Ghost who has the power. Because Paul trusted in the Holy Spirit, who directs the journey, through constant communication with Him along the way, he had confidence and encouragement to press on. Paul doesn't stop when the Holy Spirit says no. He knows that there is something to be done, and he continues on in confidence in the power that God supplies. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Our perceived failures, the closed doors of life, those don't dictate our hope and our confidence. When we are pursuing the upward destination of intimacy with God, He gives us confidence and encouragement from within. This is what Paul experienced along his long, long, long walks toward his destination and where God was calling him to Macedonia. Now, at any point, none of us could really blame Paul if after that first long walk when God says no, if Paul just hung it up. Because there were many times where we have hung it up. We couldn't blame Paul if he had said, man, forget this. I'm going back to Tarsus. I'm going to make tents. But he didn't. He didn't because he had been changed from the inside out. And because he had been changed, and because of his relationship with God, he was encouraged to press on and seek God's purposes. He was encouraged and had confidence to seek God's greatest good. When God said no, with even greater tenacity, he pressed on and on until he knew exactly where God was going to use him. Paul continued with full assurance that he served a powerful God that was bigger than his own plans. And God had plans that were bigger than Paul could possibly imagine. This is part of the inward destination. As we grow in deeper intimacy with God, as God does the work of spiritual formation within us, the confidence and encouragement in our efforts in the journey come through the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't work alone. He uses us as hands and feet for the ministry that he desires to do in the world, and he wants us to have confidence in what we do because we do it in his power and in his name. We may travel aimlessly for a season, but we know we have a God who will direct us and that our labor in his name is not in vain. If we believe that we can have confidence and encouragement in the power of the Holy Spirit over our journey, what is the Holy Spirit ultimately leading us to do on this journey? The Holy Spirit is leading us ultimately to engage people by responding to their cry for help and bringing them on the journey with us. The counselor is guiding us to engross ourselves in our neighbors by answering their pleas for support as they try to navigate life. There's something marvelous that happens when we relentlessly pursue God in the upward call. As he continues to change us through the inward call of spiritual formation, he gives us an outward call to our community. All three of these go together. Paul knew his spiritual transformation was not only for himself. It was an outward call. After no and no again, Paul presses on in confidence, trusting in God, constantly communicating with him, and God speaks. He gives Paul a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him. Not just telling him, begging him, come to Macedonia and help us. Here's the bone-chilling part of that. It wasn't actually a man from Macedonia. It was a vision of a man from Macedonia. The Holy Spirit spoke to Paul in this vision, telling him what the Macedonians would not, even if Paul asked them. These people, whether they knew it or not, were begging for Paul's help. They had never met Paul, but they desperately needed him. They desperately needed his ministry. And once Paul received the outward call to reach the people of Macedonia, because he had responded in deep intimacy with God, as God was spiritually forming him from within, Paul was compelled and ready to answer the call to the community that God was sending him to. We live in a city that is begging for our help. They may not even realize it. They may not even know it. But they desperately need our help. But they don't need just ordinary help. They need the help of a group of individuals who have been spiritually transformed. They need the help of a group of people that are deeply encountering the living God. They need our help. The people around you, in your circle of influence, that don't know Christ, they need your help. They're begging for your help. They just don't realize it yet. Are we willing to answer their cry for help? But while the community as a whole may not recognize their need, and won't directly ask us for help, because we need to understand that the church is always in the community. The community is not always part of the church. It is our role as those that are being spiritually formed to bridge that gap for them. And we have an opportunity because they're giving us an open door. Let's watch a video that we took from last week's block party from some of the members of our community.
Hey, well, actually, because I run a small business, improved education.
Improved education. Yeah. Very good.
And as a volunteer time in the local schools. That's something I know that the school she goes to is always asking for help with. Parents to come in and things like that.
More family-oriented community events, like today, and then just to get the youth out there. Just by getting out there, like today, getting families involved and getting the youth involved. And
I'd have to stick to the things like I like to focus on and my passion lies. And my passion really lies with kids really having a voice and being able to communicate effectively and also having the resources to be able to read that repetition in their life so they become solid community members who reach out, share their experiences, and teach others. Well, you know, I'm just getting to know your church, you know, actually just recently, but it sounds like you're doing a lot of really wonderful things by reaching out and educating with Vacation Bible camps and such, but also blending. I don't really have the really strong words for that, but what I mean by that is the more you can go out into the community and the more you can bring the community to you, and we can all meet somewhere in the middle and share what we know.
I think one of the biggest needs is to get out and actually socialize with one another and really show like neighborly love to one another. Have more events like this to make sure everybody's invited and feels welcome and there's something.
The essence of that is really found in the words of the one who said, keep an open door to the community. Be involved in the community and find ways to bring the community to you. Anybody ever see any of those faces in our church? No. Those are members of our community that are giving us an open door. What is at risk if we don't help our city? People are going to get help. Do you want to live in a city where people's help is coming from mass marketing, the pursuit of pleasure at all costs, where children are neglected, marriages are easily cast aside, and bitterness, hatred, and anger have replaced forgiveness, peace, and love? What is at risk if we ignore the voice of God, or worse yet, should we fear that we're not hearing the voice of God? What is at risk for your own soul if you do not pursue intimacy with God and are being spiritually transformed from within? We cannot say that we are followers of God if we do not actually follow Him. Last week, Pastor Jay introduced our 2020 vision plan for the church. I would encourage you to take one of these that are available on one of the tables out in the narthex. This was put together by your elders, whom I trust, who I believe are faithful men and women of God who are listening to the Holy Spirit. There have been other plans, vision to action, dream team, peach tree. And here's another plan. Not everything has gone perfectly in those plans, and perhaps it was the Holy Spirit forbidding us. But we kept going. The church continued, and we continue to seek to listen to God's voice. We haven't given up. Your elders believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding our ministry activity, and they have spent considerable amount of time seeking God's wisdom as we move forward as a church. This document is not about a plan. It's about a journey. It's about a journey that your leaders are calling us to take together. It is as much about you as it is about our community. It is your church leaders putting something in writing that says to you and to me, this is the journey that the Holy Spirit is leading us on. Will you follow us? Will you follow us as we create ways for an upward destination toward intimacy with God? Will you give us access to your life as we seek to guide you in a life of spiritual formation? Or will you withdraw? Will you follow us as we go into our community and invite them to us as we hear the clear voice of God in a vision saying, come to Reno and help us? Some of us are weary. We feel beat up. We're cramming 26 hours of activity into a 24-hour day. People let us down. We let them down. We let ourselves down. We hold on to anger, unforgiveness. We mask pain with habits and addictions and media and numbness and something else added to the schedule in order that we cannot be called guilty of not being too busy. It feels like we're not making any headway in life. Can I just encourage you today to open your hands and release control of your life over to the power of the Holy Spirit? Release your schedule and all of the stuff that's on it and all of it that you might eliminate to the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever trial you're experiencing right now, whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever relationship that you are seeking to remove anger and replace it with love, will you just open your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I trust you to dictate my Christian journey. Join us in the journey this summer. Pursue the upward call to intimacy with God, but do it together. Relentlessly pursue God together. Make the decision to pursue spiritual formation in you in radical ways. It's going to be costly. It's going to interrupt your life. And you can't do it alone. I guarantee you that my trip to Placerville without my wife sitting by my side would have been exceedingly boring. Journeys are always better together. I would encourage you to take this document, pray and read and pray and read, but tell your elders, tell me, tell somebody who's in leadership in this church, I'm willing to allow God to interrupt my life, and I'm all in. How do I get started? How do I get started to really engaging God and having intimate encounters with Him? How do we do this together? As we look toward this inward journey of transformation, as we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, God is saying, be spiritually transformed. But also what we're going to see as we experience this journey together, that there's going to be so much joy in doing it together than in doing it by ourselves. It's time to answer the call. It's time to start the journey. Will you join us? So, Father, as we talk today about a journey led in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, we know that we can make this journey because 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus took a journey. He took a journey from creation to a miraculous birth, and from a miraculous birth to a horrific death, from a horrific death to a glorious resurrection back into eternity. And that journey for us, Father, still continues as we await His return. Saints, I want to ask you to be risky right now. I want you to tell God what you need to give up that is hindering you from joining us on this journey. What is it that you need to release your grip on and say, Holy Spirit, I give this to you? Maybe even be risky enough to lean to the person next to you and tell them, to ask them for help. If you're feeling right now that you're good, that you're doing pretty well in this life, I pray that God would wreck that paradigm for you. I'm praying that He would reveal to you how you can go deeper with Him. And maybe you're here today and have not yet committed your life to following Jesus. But you're thinking, I want that. Where I've been getting my help just hasn't worked, God. I want to be transformed from within. I've been seeking answers my own way and haven't found them. Would you join us on the journey? Would you respond to the upward call of God today? Seek God and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. If that's you, would you lean to the person that brought you here and tell them, I want a transformed life, and I'm ready to do it through Jesus Christ. If you have someone who has just told you that, would you bring them to me or one of our elders after the service so that they can receive counsel on this journey? Father, we love you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells within us and you have given us full access to communicate with you. And we thank you that we can trust you on this journey because our souls are in much better hands than they are. They are better hands in your hands than they are in ours. We thank you for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.